Good day, friends. We again come to you with studies in the book of Genesis, and we are in the fourth chapter. We have been dealing in our last lesson with Cain and Abel, these two sons of Adam and Eve. And here we have, you remember, the beginning of a family, and also the beginning of murder, of human development. We see, too, the continued struggle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Now, in the first eight verses of chapter 4, we have the Cainite religion. We spent quite a time on this last lesson, and yet I would like to present to you again this fact that they both came to worship the same God. They both brought a sacrifice. They both came to an altar and were very, very sincere. They both came at the right time. There was a time appointed for worship, for sacrifice, and they both knew the results. Cain did the best he could and was rejected. Abel just said amen to God. He manifested that by obedience and was accepted. And the relationship of their hearts before God was manifested in their offering. The manifestation of your heart before God is displayed by what you do. What you do. You remember in the book of Jude, verse 11, I read of the fact that they've gone the way of Cain. They have followed after the error of Balaam for reward, and the gainsaying of Korah, and so on. Now, the book of Jude is a book of the last days, giving to us a revelation of the doctrine and the life of the ecclesiastical leaders in the professing Church of Christ. They've gone the way of Cain. What do you mean by that? They're following his pattern. As Proverbs 14:28 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the way thereof are the ways of death. 14:12. It's so easy to do this. In fact, most people are doing it. Well, I'm religious. I belong to a church. I'm a good man. I do the best I can. You see, when you take that attitude, it means you have no conception of the righteous, holy character of God. And you have no conception of the awfulness of sin. As we had in chapter 3, 21, unless you stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Christ, you can't stand, see. And this man Abel, he came before God in obedience. This man Cain knew what he should do, and he brought the fruit of a cursed ground, and he expected a holy God to accept the fruit of a cursed ground. And you and I well know that a holy God can't do that. He's holy, he's righteous. Sin is rebellion. And God has made the provision whereby that can be removed. You can stand before God, forgiven, cleansed, redeemed, covered with the righteousness of Christ. It's a sad thing in the last days, they're going to go the way of Cain. And how well I know it in my present day. Men prefer sin to the grace of God. They prefer their own way to God's way. Look at the attitude of, let's see what the attitude of Cain is. Cain, and to his offering, verse 5, God did not have respect. And Cain was mad. He was angry. His countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you know what to do. You know what to do, Cain. Well, at your door lie the sin offering, and to you shall be his desire. You shall rule over him. You go out and take the offering that you should do in obedience to me. I'll accept you. Oh, God was pleading. God was patient. He's long-suffering to men, as he is to you, as he was to Cain. Cain brought the wrong offering. As I said a moment ago, he brought the fruit of a cursed ground. God said, I can't accept that. I'm a holy God. I'm a righteous God. But outside the door, there's an offering there. You take it, offer it, and I'll accept you. You come my way, I'll accept you. And Cain talked with Abel, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. He was still rebellious against God. He wasn't angry at Abel, he was angry at God. He's going to destroy the seed of the woman. Let's look behind us. Again, you have the power of Satan using Cain to get rid of the fulfilling of Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. He killed Abel, God's man. And this has happened all the way down through the centuries. Even in our own present day, there are certain parts of the world, if you stand for Christ, you go to prison, or you're killed, or you're martyred, or you're thrown out, torture you. There are parts of this world, not just one part, many parts of this world, where if a person really stands out for the Savior and salvation through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, in his death and resurrection, an exaltation of the right hand of God, you become the object of persecution and martyrdom. After 1900 years of having had the word of God, see, they've gone the way of Cain. And Jude, way back in the first century A.D., Jude wrote about the last days, they've gone the way of Cain. They've gone after the error of Balaam for reward. That is, they commercialize divine things. Oh, God forbid that anybody listening to my voice is going to go the way of Cain. It's the way of death. It's the way of judgment. And you notice, he's still rebellious. Unbelief persisted in produces hardness and will even murder. You take the Gospels, the unbelief of the Jewish leaders. At first, they didn't think of killing him. They were envious of him. Then they began to oppose him. Then they tried to trick him. They tried to trap him. And it came to the time when nothing would satisfy them but the death of Jesus, the Son of God. The one who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why should they persecute Jesus for doing good? For cleansing lepers, for healing the sick, for feeding the hungry, for raising the dead. Huh? Just hate. I repeat it, unbelief persisted in produces hardness. And hardness is not satisfied without murder. That's what you have here. He slew Cain. As I said a moment ago, he couldn't get at God, so he got at Abel. By the way, it might be well for me to suggest this. I give you a little time in our last lesson on Cain's offering. You remember it was a self-righteous, self-efficient, earnest religious offering, but it denied two things. It denied the character of God. It denied the sinfulness of man. Now let's look at Abel's offering. Abel, in the process of time, he brought the firstlings of his flock, and the Lord had respect unto Abel. Unto his offering. This Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he was counted righteous, so on. Abel came in the divine order. Abel acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged that the ground was cursed. He acknowledged the fall. He also acknowledged his helplessness. He acknowledged that God's judgment was righteous. He acknowledged his worthiness to die. He identified himself with his offering. He preferred God's will to his own will. He accepted the divine provision and sacrifice. See, friend, justification by faith is as old as the human family. The difference is not in their character. The difference is in their offering. And in our offering to God, we manifest our heart's attitude to God. What our hearts are in the sight of God comes out in our offering. Are you offering to God your own offering, the works of the flesh, filthy rags, or do you bow your head in confession of your sin, and you're a sinner needing a Savior, and you accept the divine provision for it? You see, Cainite religion is something like this, and I'm quoting on this. Somebody wrote this, and it's Cainite, pure Cainite. It's religious, but it's not according to the Word of God. Listen to it. Sow a thought, and you reap an action. Sow an action, and you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny. That sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Huh? Let me repeat it. Sow a thought, you reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a destiny. That's Cainite religion. That's not the gospel. That's not the word of God. That's Cainite religion. And again, I say to you, our present generation is more Cainite than anything else. Take here in America, with our hundreds of thousands of churches, with religion and cults, you name it, all over the country, with our millions of people out of Christ, according to man's standards, they're good, they're religious, they're earnest, and everything else. But they've turned their back on the living God. They've got no recognition of His character, that He's righteous. And what they do is nobody else's business. We're living in a permissive society where sin is no longer sin. And the result is we have Cainite religion. Now Abel, he recognized he was a sinner. He recognized that God was righteous. And he accepted the divine provision. He brought his lamb for an offering. And right on down through the Bible, as John could introduce Jesus to the people of his day when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." This is God's way of redeeming men from sin. Friend, you have no argument with me. Your argument is with God. God says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death." You know that. You know that as well as I know it. But you want it to go some other way. You can't go on strike. You can't quit the job. You must receive your wages, which is death. This is just a fact. You can try and argue it away all you want to, but you've got to stand before God. You may be very earnest and very religious. You might even be a preacher. I don't care what you are. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're going your own way. That's the way of death. And I just plead with your heart. God has made a way. Wonderful, wonderful thing. When man couldn't do anything to save himself, couldn't do anything to please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. I'm quoting John, Romans 3, 10 to 12. What are you going to do? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Got to come God's way. God's way is the only way. God's way is the best way. Now, this is the first part of Genesis chapter 4. The two offerings of the two boys reveal their heart, their offerings. They're going to come to it. Their offerings reveal their hearts. Now let's go from 9 to 16. Here you have the judgment of God upon Cain. See. Cain, in verse 8, he slew his brother. Verse 9. Now mark you, there's no repentance. There's no shame in Cain. The Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" He said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And God said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. Now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out of this day from the face of the earth. From thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. It shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. I want to stay right there for a moment. You see, with this man, Cain, he's still selfish. There's no repentance. He's a liar. Am I my brother's keeper? And by the way, selfishness and lying generally go together. See, you take that little passage in Luke chapter 16, where Jesus told us the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Sheol. Do you remember that? And the rich man was in suffering, and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. Do you remember the story in Luke 16? And the rich man still wanted Lazarus to leave where he was and come down and soothe the rich man in his suffering. Still selfish, still full of self-will. It is true here. Cain knew what to do. God gave him a chance to go out and do it. He still refused. He still rebelled. He killed his brother and lied to God. What did God say? "You're going to be cursed from the earth. You're going to be a fugitive. You're going to be a vagabond. You're going to be hidden from the face of God. Thou hast driven me this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid." Yes, my friend, sin always separates from God. Cain went out. In verse 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, never again went back. Oh, it's a terrible thing. Sin is a terrible thing. Rebellion against God is a terrible thing. No repentance, no sorrow. Sin always separates. He went out from the presence of God into darkness. Tell me, my friend, are you away from God? Have you rejected the Savior? There's nothing left but darkness. As the 49th Psalm says, they shall never, never see light. God is light as well as love. And sin will separate us from God. Unless you come God's way, be redeemed and cleansed and fitted for God's presence through the work of Christ, his Son. You'd be banished from his presence. Oh, that terrible picture in Revelation chapter 20. They shall go out, 22. They shall go out. Out from the presence of God. Think of it. Think of it. Remember John 13? Judas received the sop. Satan entered him. And Jesus ratified Judas's choice and said, "What you do, do quickly." And Judas went out, and it was night. And everyone who turns away from the Savior And I say this solemnly with all my heart, because I want you to be saved. I want you to experience the love of Christ. I want you to experience His mercy and His forgiveness. But let me tell you, my friend, when you leave Him, turn your back on Him, there's nothing left but darkness and night. Judas went out from the presence of the Lord. It was night. Here you have Cain went out from the presence of God. What did he do? And he started a civilization without God. And starting in verse 6 and running through to the end of the chapter, we will see what? Cainite civilization. First half of the chapter, Cainite religion. Second half of the chapter, Cainite civilization. We're going to start that in our next lesson. And we just pray that the Lord will make it very precious to you. And then we'll go on into chapter 6 and so on. The Lord bless you today for His precious name's sake.